Well, before we really get going, happy five-year anniversary to the folks at IntoInfinity.com, another one of our favorite chat rooms over there, a group of great people, and they've been doing this now for 5 years and hopefully another 5 years after that, and off we go into the sunset. So have a great time, you folks. Five-year anniversary, IntoInfinity.com. Lots been going on this planet, let me tell you. First of all, when I came to St. Louis, I try to time it where the springs and the falls are where I pop in because they're the best ever. This spring has been one of the worst I've ever seen. It's been nothing but rain. It's been generally kind of cold, one or two spurts of nice days, but then the tragedies of the weather. You know, the airport got hit the last Friday night when we were here, and the terminal got knocked off. And then a couple days later, as you know, a transformer got blown up because of the weather conditions, and it knocked me out of the cave. But thank God we had generators to keep things going. It's just been rough. And then that horrible group of tornadoes hit the south, killing 300 people. Absolutely incredible. During open lines, you call in about things that you want to talk about, whether it's UFOs, Bigfoot, conspiracies, you name it, we'll talk about it. Right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Hey, by the way, I want to address several emails that I picked up earlier this week when we had Joseph Farah on reacting to President Barack Obama releasing his long-form birth certificate. And, you know, as you know, we don't pick sides here. We report what is breaking, what is going on. WorldNet Daily has been one of the staunchest opponents of the short-form birth certificate, and it was a major news story, and that's the reason why we wanted either Jerry Corsi on or Joseph Farah to react to the release of the long-form birth certificate. Now, whether WorldNet Daily decides to pay for some kind of forensics examiner to look at that birth certificate or not, we'll see. And when they do, we'll see if that's a story or not. But a lot of you sent in some emails, those of you who support the president and support his birth certificate, and thinking that we've picked sides because we have someone on who questions that. No, that's not the case. Not the case at all. And please understand that. Our role is to give you some information and then you decide. Simple as that. We're not going to tell you, as I talked to you about vaccines, I've told you long and long and long and hard enough, I don't take vaccines. But never have I told you not to or to go out and get a vaccine. That's your choice. That's between you and your family and your doctor or whatever else you want to do. And that's what we'll always be doing here for the years and years to come on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to bring you stories and you make up your own mind, whether you believe them or not, whether you accept them or not. But please, because we have a guest on who has their own view, does not necessarily mean that is what our views are or anybody on our staff or anything like that. So those of you, and I didn't get a lot of them, but those of you who sent those emails saying, you're a birther, you're the, no, absolutely not. You need to look at it in the context of what we're doing. We're reporting on stories that are breaking all the time. Simple as that. Now, let's get that out of the way. Let's go to open lines. We've got them for you for the next couple hours here on Coast to Coast AM. Let's go to Logan in Tallahassee, Florida on the Skype line. Hey, Logan, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. How's it going?
Good.
Well, I was hoping to get on with Hollister, but I guess I'll go ahead and get your feedback on this.
Sure.
But since most people start to see or communicate with spirits either after life or near-death experiences or during dreams, do you think that the chemical dimethyltropylene, I think it is, or DMT for short, do you think that's in any kind of a way, kind of like a way to grease the wheels between worlds or tables or whatever?
Might help open up that little portal, I'll tell you. It's very, very possible. That, ayahuasca, and other kinds of psychedelic possibilities. I think they do. I think they enhance it. I don't necessarily do this. And I don't advocate you do or not, but
obviously,
you know,
but I mean, it's interesting that it only is released.
It puts your mind in a different state of mind. That's
for certain. But, I mean, it's only released when you die or when you dream. So, I mean, that's just really interesting there.
Well, that's true. Or you can also ingest it. There are ways you can do that, too. Logan, thanks for the call. Next up, we've got Katharina in Rochester, Minnesota. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
Hey, great show. I've listened for, I think, a few years now. There are some shows I don't listen to if they're with, you know, if you talk about evil spirits or the occult, I kind of stay away from that negative energy. But you guys, I love you guys. I think you're incredible. Two things I wanted to ask. Do you remember a while ago you were talking about there were someone had saw something in San Diego in the sky, and they said it was a guy floating in a chair.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
And a guy. Do you remember that?
Yep. It actually looked like a guy in a lawn chair. You remember?
Yeah.
I wonder if it was.
And he was all white, and he had somebody next to him, and he was in all white.
We get some of the strangest reports, as you well know. There was a report of a flying cow. We've had everything. You know, the first thing you have to do when you get stories like that is you got to try to see if whatever it is, it's generated by man. If it's a kite or some guy who's got a balloon pulling him up or something like that.
Yeah.
If you then rule that out, then you got to think about some governmental machine or craft or something like that.
Yeah.
But then if you go through that, you've got to come up with a possibility that what you're looking at is truly out of this world.
Yeah. I think that was out of this world.
A guy kind of floating around up there could be out of this world.
Yeah, I think so. What I wanted to share with you is an experience that I've had. First of all, I didn't have a positive growing up life.
What happened? You want to tell us?
No, it's just too personal.
I understand. No, don't worry about that. Don't worry.
You know, it's like the worst of the worst that could happen to someone from the time that they're born, you know, up until the time that they declared, I'm no longer in that family type of situation. You name it, it's happened.
What did you do to pull yourself out of that situation?
Prayer and God and knowing that I'm better than that.
Good for you.
That was it. I mean, literally. And I mean, I was a prisoner. The birth mother that I came from, and the reason I say birth mother is because I don't believe that I was born to that person. There was like a switched at birth type of thing going on.
Accidentally or on purpose?
I think it was on purpose, and it was because of money. The birth father had money, and you know, you do whatever it takes at that, you know, in the 60s, women did a lot of things in order to get money, which was really sad. And so I was put into this situation and it wasn't my fault, but, you know, I got out of it. But what I wanted to share with you is something that's going on with my life now. It's been going on for over 4 years. Lived overseas with my children. We lived in Australia, actually. And we came back to the U.S. And one of my friends, a dear friend, was diagnosed with cancer. And I didn't think that she was going to die. And I kept saying, she's not going to die. And about a year before she had passed away, I had got a phone call from a mutual friend. And this mutual friend said, you know, there's somebody at church that we, you know, really need for you to watch over. And I was like, oh, I watch over a lot of people at church, you know, I'm kind of like the church mom. And with each phone call, it would get more specific. And then I said, this person's name, I'm like, she's not going to die, and left it at that. And, you know, I would spend time with this person because she was one of my dearest friends. Sure. And our kids were each other's best friends. And sure enough, you know, things were progressing to where she was going to die. And the weirdest things would be happening. I was told to be the last speaker at church. I was told to say a certain prayer. I was told to wear a certain apron. I mean, all these things were happening, and I'm taking care of this person's family.
So you were almost like her guardian, so to speak.
Kind of, yeah, but it's more or less she was like mine, because I kid you not, from coming from a situation where I've never had any love to a situation where I have so much love and blessings, it's like the second part of my life is so much better than the first part of my life.
So you're saying this episode truly helped change your life?
Oh, yeah. I'd say a lot of things have. It has prepared me for who I am and what I'm doing today.
Did she finally pass on?
Oh, yes, she did. She actually passed 3.5 years ago.
When that happened, Katharina, when she died, how did you handle it? Were you strong, or was it difficult for you? What happened?
Well, you know, the thing, what happened was I had to tell her that I was going to do what she asked me to do. And again, this was through a third party who said, you know, this family really needs for you to look out for them, for their kids. And I said, no. I said, she's not going to die. I said, no. And it took that last day that she was going to be at church, and I got a phone call saying, you're going to be a speaker at church, and this is her last day at church. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And they said, yes, you are. You were chosen. You're going to give that talk. And I mean, it was like over 300 people there. And I was at the podium, and I told this person that I love, my friends, and that my friends are closer to me than my relatives, the people that I came from. And so that anything that they ask, I will do it for them because I love them so much. So it was there that she knew I was going to be there for her. I was going to be there for her children.
You were her little angel.
And so, I kid you not, I could not have been blessed more than anything, because she has the most incredible kids that are all doing well.
Well, you know what? She could have been your angel too. You know that.
I think she is.
In your own
way. I really think she is.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you for the story. And you just sit back and enjoy the rest of the program. And I'm glad things are finally changing for you. I can't imagine what you went through in your earlier days, but you sound like you're getting stronger and stronger all the time. And maybe this episode was a little miracle that you needed in your life. And thank you for sharing it for us. I know that was pretty tough. Let's go to Philadelphia. Rich, welcome to the program. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Rich.
Hi, man. Let me take you off a stick. I am just overwhelmed by this woman's joy because it parallels so much with my situation with my mother's death 2 years ago. And, oh, wow. Okay. I mean, tears are in my eyes right now because it's just so painful to be in that situation like she's in. And my situation is kind of the same because when my mother died, my family didn't let me know.
Oh.
And, you know, they are, I'll just be frank, they're Seventh-day Adventists and I'm not. And they are kind of very rigid, you know, in their beliefs. I guess they believe everybody who's not an Adventist is not, you know, that we're heathens or whatever.
Not all, but some do.
Well, this is how I was raised in the church, and that's how they treat people when you don't, you know, do whatever. But I think it was a little extreme in my case because, like, right now, I don't even know where my mom's buried.
You're kidding me.
No.
Rich, were you like an outcast or what?
I wasn't an outcast to my mother. She's my best friend. She used to call her mommy.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I have one brother. My mother remarried after many years after my father died, and we were grown. And she moved my mother from New York to Florida in the middle of nowhere, Ocala somewhere. And he didn't, you know, me and him, I didn't really like him. But, you know, as a grown man, my mother was happy. And, you know, I relented and I just said, okay, well, you know, that's her life. She has to do, you know, what she has to do. You know what I mean? So, anyway, right now I'm in a situation where I'm just coming out of a lot of pain from that experience. It took me a whole year to reconcile my isolation from the people that I grew up with.
See, I can't imagine what you're going through, because, you know, I came from a family that, you know, they're very warm and loving. I'm lucky enough right now, God willing, my mother's 82, my dad's 88. I mean, they're getting up there.
Man. I'm jealous.
I got two sisters. You know, I've got one who hounds me all the time. You know, you need to do this for mom. You need to do that. But that's her. That's what she does. But, yeah. I mean, I just can't imagine what it's like to have one of your parents die and nobody even tells you.
Well, I can tell you this. It was a premonition that I had. She died in December. I had a premonition in April, and this is why I'm calling, because I listened to the show for years, and I never called. So, but this just hit me hard when this woman that you had, the guest you had on, was talking about this. And I never act on these things because, you know, like I told the screener, you know, people think you're crazy when you tell them about stuff, you know. You know, that you're dreaming this and, you know, what are you smoking? You know, I mean, really. And
unless they listen to the show and then they'll understand you.
Yeah, but most people I know don't. I don't know. They just don't listen to. They're not interested in this, you know. And so I'm kind of solo on this. I'm a rogue. So I had this premonition about her funeral and our family arguing. That's the dream.
How did you find out? April. How did you find out she finally died? I guess you tried to contact.
One of my aunts, where my family's originated from, St. Kitts, and one of my aunts flew up from the islands to her funeral. And when she didn't see me, when she got back to St. Kitts, she called me long distance.
She said, why weren't you at your mother's funeral, Rich?
No, she didn't say that. She knew that there was something, because what they were telling her was not consistent with my personality.
Right.
Okay, so she knew something was up. I mean, to the extent that I want to parallel this with everything was going on tonight, I have not been pressured to, you know, really push forward on my ability. Now, let me say this. You mentioned to this guy about some chemical or something to kind of open you up to dream. Well, this is what I've been doing for the past, I would say, 13 years. Once a month, I do a water fast, right? And I drink a liter of water every day for a week.
Well, I've got to tell you, Rich, a water fast, any kind of good fast is good for you. It cleanses out your body. It really does. Hey, like, you hear the music. That means I'm coming up to the break. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's time for our traditional shout out, and thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM worldwide. Those of you listening to your favorite radio stations, 545 strong now across North America. Thank you so much. Coast Insiders, formerly Streamlink members, thank you for everything you do. And don't forget, for 25 cents a day or less, you could be a Coast Insider. And those of you listening on FM radio, well, right now it's channel 165, but May 4th, we become XM Talk 168. There's going to be a channel switch with some neat programming for you, but it will be XM Talk 168 beginning next week, May 4th. So just make a note of that, those of you who are using that. And the various chat room and groups, as I mentioned, Into Infinity, hello to you, 5-year anniversary, Imaginative Worlds, National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, the MySpace groups, our followers of Facebook and Twitter, Yahoo Chat, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group Above Top Secret, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, my buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis, who this guy had to weather some of the most inclement weather in the world. He cooks for people at night. He got hit and inundated by winds, storms, rain, and he still stayed out there barbecuing for people. He's amazing. So stay warm, Greg, and stay dry, would you? Anyway, we'll be back in a moment with more Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Open Lines. We're going to Florence, Oregon now. Mark's been waiting, and now Mark is on. Hi, Mark.
Hey, George. Good evening to you, sir.
You too.
Sure, thank you so much. Great to speak with you again. George, not exactly why I called, but I did want to mention, I guess you probably heard, I heard the report in the last couple of days that at least one of those 600 or so hurricane, and what's it been, over 2 weeks, if that long?
Yeah, yes.
Was actually a mile wide. It's kind of scary.
Not only a mile wide, it was one of the biggest tornadoes to hit that region since 1966.
God, I don't believe it. I'm surprised that I hadn't, you know, because I was alive in 66, surprised I haven't recalled that. You know, it seems like you would have heard about a hurricane that large, or rather a tornado that large. It's incredible.
Yeah, this one was buzzing along at 205 miles an hour. Can you imagine that?
I believe that qualifies as an F5. I didn't know they got that fast this time.
You are right.
Yeah. George, you know, you brought up a number of calls back this evening about the fella who, it was reported, a guy was up in his chaise lounge up there, floating up there.
Yes. Yes.
It was either you or Art that had him as a guest. And we're going back not long after you took the show over, if it was you, and it might have well have been Art.
Might have been Art.
Back in the late 90s. But he had him on as a guest, and it was really bona fide. He had witnesses, and it was in the papers. And he was up there as high as 10,000 feet. He got,
how did he get up there? By the way, it had to be Art. I didn't roll in until 2000.
Yeah, he got up there with helium balloons, and they weren't that big. He just had quite a few of them tied to this lawn chair, and he had something to cut the strings with, and that was his. That's all he had. He didn't have ballast. Well, he had ballast by cutting the balloons one at a time. So he was up there as high as 10,000 feet, and he was reported by an aircraft pilot. And it may have been recorded onto the program at the time it was broadcast live with him as a guest, but that would have been with Art probably, if you don't remember it, because you'd have remembered that, George. Eh?
Right. Well, I sure would. Plus, you know, I didn't roll in until 2001. So if it
It just it seems like you've been around forever. It's kind of hard to
remember. Yeah, it does.
I mean that in a real good way now. But I thought it was one of the best stories, and I thought maybe you'd be able to find him. I guess he's still alive if he made it through that, and I know he made it through that. So,
well, actually, he's on Mars now. He's done something else.
Right. He put on a lot more balloons in the meantime. Well, God bless you, George.
All right, Mark.
Thank you so much.
I'm not sure I would have the guts to go up in a lawn chair with a bunch of helium balloons. And then in order to come down, apparently he had to cut the balloons one at a time as he slowly lowered. Just my luck to cut too many off at the same time, and whew, down I go. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Charles, you're with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Charles.
Oh, George, I couldn't follow a better caller. That guy was dead on. There was a guy, and you can Google him. His name is Larry Walters. His girlfriend was on with Art Bell. He went up in a balloon, in a lawn chair held up by balloons. He took a BB gun in order to let himself down slowly. And you can Google him. It's a true story. And unfortunately, I think the poor gentleman is gone now. He died.
How did he go?
Well, it was after the incident. I think it was a suicide. I don't remember.
You're kidding.
It's not related, but you can check him out. But that's a true story, and his girlfriend was on with Art Bell.
Okay, thank you, Charles. That's
Google
a great story.
Larry Walters, okay?
All right, you got that. By the way, I'm going to be out in Albuquerque in a couple months at a major speaking event at our affiliate, KKOB. They're putting it together right now, so definitely come on out and see me. I'll be posting that information on the calendar section at coasttocoastam.com. I think I'm going to Redding, California a little bit later on. I got a trip to Chicago coming up, so I'm going to be popping all over the place. Let's go to Tom's back in the L.A. studios. As you know, we take your text questions, and he's got one for me. Tom, what do you got?
Hey, George, you know, I'm still laughing. I'm picturing you cutting balloons and falling to the ground.
It's just my luck. cut one too many.
Oh, my gosh. Cindy from Colorado, she texts in. She says, George, I want to join a paranormal investigation group. Do you have any suggestions for me?
And where is she calling from?
She's from Colorado.
Colorado. I don't know any specific group in Colorado, but there are a lot of paranormal groups everywhere. One of the things she should do is go to some of the chat rooms, like intoinfinity.com. Join that. And because there are groups of people all around the country, they might be able to help her as well. Or, you know, if she wants to send us an email besides the text, Tom, you know, you with your resources can go and get some of these groups. Like, you know, like if she was in California, you could hook her up with the Hollywood Ghost Hunters.
Oh, you know, I was thinking of them. And she could also Google Paranormal Research Society. That's a really good one. You know, she could also just grab some friends and go. I mean, there's a lot of places to investigate.
Are we going to do another Haunted Queen Mary, do you know, in the not-too-distant future?
I don't know yet, but they'll probably call me around the end of the year, like September-ish.
I had a great time the last time we did that. And meeting those guys from the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, they were fantastic.
That was really cool, and it was a good event, and there were a lot of people there, George.
It was, yeah, a lot. And we did that live audience show, too, which I like.
I think everybody likes watching you just do your thing.
You know, it's a fun time. All right, be well.
Bye-bye.
All right, Tom will have another text for us. And by the way, continue to text because he is constantly feeding me some of your thoughts and questions, especially when we have guests on. Those are perfect times for you to just text them a question. And, you know, many times I'll use them. I'm not going to, you know, mention your names all the time. I don't want to slow the show down, but we do use them. So, you know, use that. Is that another form of technology here? And don't forget Skype. Those of you who especially are beyond the international line sometimes, just go on your computer and you can send us a Skype call. That's George 97313. It is remarkable. I mean, during that horrible, horrible earthquake and tsunami in Japan, we had a number of callers from Hawaii, Tokyo on that Skype line. And we had just installed it 6 months ago. I told our engineering staff, I said, let's do this. We need another way to get people who are listening to us around this planet. And it's taken off like crazy. And I'm also going to work on a campaign for you Coast Insiders, open this up more internationally as well. I'm finding that this world is changing dramatically. And people throughout the Middle East, in Australia, in Europe, areas of Asia, you name it, you know, the continent of Africa, that people want more and more information. And I got to tell you, the guests that we have on Coast to Coast are some of the best people on the planet. And people are tuning into that. So that's one of the things I want to do outside of this country, beyond our radio station affiliates, is to be able to pick up people way, way out. Let's go to Gina in Loveland, Colorado. You're up with us. Hi, Gina. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi, George. What a pleasure to talk to you. You are so cool.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you about a couple things. First of all, I wanted to comment on the lawn chair thing, the humanoid thing.
Yeah.
My dad, every night on his way home from work, would see this thing. It was not a guy in a lawn chair. It was this black, shiny metallic craft thing with these two dangly legs, he explained it. And he said it was like it sensed him seeing it because he would see it, George, and then he would pull over. By the time he pulled over, he would see it, it would just disappear.
Gone, yeah.
And it was weird. And that went on for 6 months at about 7 p.m. every night on his way home from work, hovering over the same spot up in the mountains.
At the blink of an eye, it was gone, yeah. Wasn't it?
It was, like the minute he thought in his head, George, like, I'm going to pull over, it would disappear. Like, it knew. It was weird.
I have always been a believer that we have been visited since I was a kid, but I am so convinced now it's unbelievable.
I am, too. And I think we would be, I think it would be abnormal if we were the only ones. That would be weird to me. That would be.
I do too, and I think they probably look like we do. I think they're somewhat human looking. You know, I think we're up there on the food chain, and I just think because things are the same throughout the universe, that they probably are too.
I do too. But anyway, I wanted to address that. And then, you know, I really regret it. I missed when you had Jesse Ventura on. I love him. I mean, is he cool or what? His show is cool. Awesome.
He's a great interview. He's a straight shooter, which I appreciate. You know, he doesn't waffle. Like him or not, he just says it the way he believes it, and he just puts it right out there.
Yeah, and you had mentioned something about you kind of just woke up one day about all this conspiracy stuff.
Yes.
And you know what? That happened to me. I think that people are afraid to see, and I have literally woken up. It's like you just, you know, it can consume you. Don't you agree? It can consume you. If you start putting all this stuff together, you know, Steve Quayle, you had him on about the global turmoil. Who else? Brooks Agnew, I think you say.
Brooks Agnew, Alex Jones, David Icke.
Yes. I mean, George, you start putting all this stuff together, and it can drive you nuts. Because people look at you like you're crazy.
But you know what? We know the globalists have their own agenda. And they would do whatever they could to make it work. And like I said to Jesse years ago, I would have thought that's nonsense. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. There's a tremendous truth. I don't think every conspiracy has truth to it. I mean, there's some that are really out there, but they're all worth looking at because I think most of them have some truth behind it.
Yeah, I do too. And I think the more people that report things, you know, mass sightings, do you remember a few years ago, people were being driven crazy in Taos, New Mexico from the strange noise?
Yes, it was the
vibration, humming, and they were actually committing suicide. Then some people couldn't hear it. And then the ones that could hear it were thinking they were going insane. They would actually commit suicide. And people are like, you know, that's the government. You know, I wanted to talk to you what you think about these weird noises, you know, Florida, Ohio, and all over, underneath the ground.
I think that they're building bunkers, facilities, deep underground.
See, and you do. Now, I do, too. And I do, too. I agree with you. And I live by DIA, and I'm sure you've heard about all.
And are you there? They got you. Just like that. So once again, every time someone's talking about something controversial, they're gone. Mary is in Jetto, Michigan. There you go, Mary. Let's hope you don't get cut off by them.
Well, I don't know, George, but...
You never know.
I have been cut off. First of all, I just want to thank you for taking my call, and I want you to know that I want God to bless you and your whole staff for the awareness that you bring on these controversial issues.
I have quite a few
friends that listen to Coast to Coast, and we are targeted individuals that you had Dr. John Hall on?
Yes.
Yes, and we are all targeted individuals, and we stay up all night from the torture we go through and listen to Coast to Coast. And
But listening to Coast is not the torture, right?
No. It helps us get through what we go through.
Exactly.
So I want to say hello to my friends that are listening, and there's two things I'd like to bring awareness about. One is something that I do. I watch for veterans, and when I see them, you know how they wear their hats? I'm a veteran.
Oh, yeah.
And when I see them, I go over and I say, oh, there you are. And I say, thank you, sir. I just saw one the other day. And
Mary, that's a touch of class.
I shake their hand, and this man looked at me so shocked, and I said, I just want to thank you for risking your life and making me free. And he said, oh, my God. He said, I've never had anyone thank me before. And I said, well, everyone should thank you. You put your life on the line for us. And
I love it at airports when a group of group of military folks come in from probably Afghanistan or Iraq, and people just kind of give them a, you know, a round of applause. I think it's so cool.
I think we all should keep that in mind, watch for these people, and make a point of thanking them.
Absolutely. Now,
the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about was my telepathic communication.
With?
My husband, and I have been communicating with him for like 8 years, and I had a flooding problem on my property, and I worked it out with the county where they put easement in and ran a county drain through my property, and we're naming it after my husband. It's the Doc Holliday Waterway, because my husband's nickname was Doc. And
did he like the movie Tombstone?
Oh, he used to kid people all the time that his great-great-grandfather was Doc Holliday, and I'd say, don't lie like that.
Hey, I will give you 6 books right now if you can tell me who played Doc Holliday in Tombstone.
It was,
come on.
I know who he is. I can see his face.
I'm going to give you just a few seconds so you don't sneak it on the internet or something.
No, I'm not on the internet, honey.
Okay.
God, he married that woman, and after his wife was hooked on Daladin.
Let me give you a hint. He was also in Top Gun with Tom Cruise.
You know, I can't think of his name. I just watched the movie the other day. You know what my husband used to do was underneath the lip, how they had that little piece of hair, you know, like it went into a V.
Yeah.
My husband used to do that, and when he passed away, I told him, I said, are you going to shave him? And they said, yes. I go, don't you dare shave that off, because that was a big trademark for him. He loved doing that, and he said that's because Doc Holliday did it.
I love it. So do you still communicate with him?
Oh, yeah, he communicates with me. But the story I wanted to tell you is when I had this waterway put in, my brother was going to help me. We're going to dedicate it this spring. And I have an oxen yoke, and the Boy Scouts are restoring this oxen yoke, and they are burning in it the Doc Holliday Waterway. Well, my brother was going to help me with doing this dedication ceremony, and I stopped by to see him, and we were talking about him communicating with me, because I was telling him that he was communicating with me a lot about this waterway.
Can you tell me this in 20 seconds? If not, I got to hold you over.
Oh, you're going to have to hold me over.
All right, let's do that. And by the way, it was Val Kilmer. He's the one who played Doc Holliday. I'll be back.